Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many of us regret the yesterdays we experienced and the hoped-for tomorrows we will never experience. But our bitterness defiles both us and others. Today, ways to put bitterness behind us and move forward in dependence on God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the power of a clear conscience. Erwin Lutzer is urging us to lay down our bitterness against God and other people and regain our joy.
So far as we know, and I don't know the research on this, a skunk's odor may smell very, very good to him. It probably smells something like, well, there used to be, I don't know if it's still in existence, but Chanel No. 5 or something like that. He doesn't notice it. What kind of odor do you and I sometimes give off that we do not notice, but those around us do? And it may be for many different reasons. One reason is smoldering resentment. Be honest. Admit it. Second, grieve the loss. Grieve the loss. My, some of you have lost your childhood because of the way in which you were treated as a child. Some of you have had a destroyed marriage because of the unfaithfulness of a spouse. Why wouldn't you grieve the loss? You are grieving what could have been. Wasn't it Greenleaf Whittier who said that the saddest words in tongue and pen is simply this: it might have been. Could have been different. God has given you some kind of a limitation, some kind of a trial, and it destroys your career and all, and you wanted to do this thing, and some physical infirmity came in between you and your dream. Weep. Why not? If you lost an arm, you'd cry. So what we need to do is to become very, very honest as we think about the regrets of yesterday and the worries sometimes about tomorrow. Could we, in moments of silence before God, and by the way, I read that the best cure for loneliness is silence before God. And then, number three, we have to remember why Jesus was abused. I'm in the text now. Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now think for a moment about Jesus, who is really the pivotal of the whole thing and the one whom we worship and the one who we love, who is our Savior. What did Jesus endure? Well, he was betrayed by a friend. He was deserted by his followers. Suffered for what he didn't do because our sin was laid upon him. And he bore our iniquity. And catch this, he even suffered under the hands of God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now follow carefully. You and I oftentimes have been the victim of injustice. We've been the victim of those who have tried to destroy us. We've all been there in one way or another. But that was not our choice. We just happened to be where we happened to be, and people just did what they did. But Jesus would not have had to be there. This was his voluntary choice. Because he said, I so love the people whom God wants to redeem that I will die in their behalf. I will give my life. I will make the ultimate sacrifice for them. Why? So that you, O Father, can set them free. Because I want them to be free from their sin and from the natural consequences that we might expect, and I want to redeem them. Now, think of that. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's the standard. Do you know that if you can't forgive, if you absolutely say, I can't forgive, I have to question whether or not you have been redeemed, because the sin that you and I have done against Christ is much greater, almost certainly, than sins that have been done against us. The key to forgiveness is to understand the wonder of God's forgiveness. And then what we do is we simply say, I'm going to lay it down. Lay it down. In fact, that is very important. The first step to forgiveness is to be forgiven and to realize the importance of Jesus Christ's mercy toward us, and we forgive accordingly. Does Jesus forgive you more than once? Well, aren't you glad the answer's yes? In Christ, we forgive others. Now, reconciliation is a separate issue that we'll deal with next week. But forgiveness, the laying down of bitterness, may God grant us the ability to do it. You know, I'm told that rattlesnakes, and I looked this up on the web, and if it's on the web, it must be true. Yeah, I'm sure it's true. Not everything on the web is true. I hope you realize that. But rattlesnakes sometimes bite themselves. Nobody knows, is it because of anger, is it because of fear, but a rattlesnake bites itself. My friend today, if you harbor bitterness, you are biting yourself. You're not changing your enemy, you're not changing the situation. All that you're doing is you are perpetuating the venom. And the Bible says, by that many are defiled. And I'm saying, stop it. Lay it down. Lay it down. You know, there is a story, I may have told you the story years ago, about a professor whom we shall call Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith was known in his classroom for having object lessons for helping the people learn in creative ways. So one day he put a target on the wall and said, now what I want you to do, everybody gets a sheet of paper. And what I want you to do is to make a picture, draw a picture of the person you dislike the most, the person that you hate. I mean, let's just use the word hate. The person that you hate, draw a picture. Well, all the students, they just thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, some of them said, give me more than one piece of paper because I don't know who to choose. Plenty of people that we hate. Because he said, afterwards, we're going to put these people on this target that I've put on the wall, and then I've got all of these arrows. And what you can do is to take those arrows and throw them as hard as you want at the person that you hate. Oh, what an exciting assignment. Plenty of opportunity for this. So the kids go through it, and one by one, these pictures are put over the target, and the kids are there. They are just really enjoying it, throwing these darts, these spears, these little spears, as hard as they possibly can, these arrows. And then when everybody was over, and everybody was having a great time, and everybody enjoying it, he went over and he pulled the target off the wall, and behind it was a picture of Jesus. And the kids were stunned. Every eye gouged out, both eyes gouged out. His cheeks, his chin, his neck, all gouged. I mean, the best way to describe it is the face of Jesus was mangled. And then he said to them, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, Jesus is saying, you've done it unto me. Angry parent, you may be angry with the father of your child. You may be angry with the person who robbed you of your virginity. You may be angry for all kinds of different reasons, just as these students were. But every time you throw one of those arrows and you shout in anger, you're not only doing it to your child, you're doing it to Jesus. Therefore, the scripture says, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Jesus shed his blood. His body was nailed to the cross, all voluntary on his part, so that you and I could be redeemed. We could experience forgiveness, and then he gives us plenty of opportunities to forgive in return. Blessed are you who go to the root of your bitterness. Forgiveness is both an act and a process. That's why I say in the notes, lay it down, and then if it comes back, lay it down again. But each time it has less power. Lay it down, lay it down, lay it down. Be free in Jesus who redeemed you. And now let us pray. Father, I'm thinking of people who have lived with bitterness and anger for years. The roots go down very, very deep. Would you help them, Father, to lay it down? I'm thinking of betrayal. I'm thinking of situations of promise that were broken and people who were misused and thrown away like the peelings of an orange. And today that's the way they feel. I pray that in your presence they might receive and rejoice in the greatness of your forgiveness and your love for them. And then in turn, grant others the same grace that you gave them. And for those who are listening who've never trusted Christ as Savior, this seems to be all very foreign to them. Help them to know that Jesus died for sinners so that we could indeed be forgiven as we receive forgiveness from his hand. And help us now as a church, as we remember his death, to be deeply grateful that he died for us and says, go free. Whatever God has talked to you about, would you take this sermon home with you? And you respond. In Jesus' name we thank you. Help our people and help all of us. Amen.
Well, once again, this is Pastor Lutzer. Thank you so much for joining us. And as I talk about these deep issues, thank you for your prayers and for your involvement. The reason that Running to Win exists is to set the captives free, to enable people to understand the glories of the gospel, and we don't need to be bound by our past. This message, of course, is part of a larger series entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. In the next message, by the way, I'm going to be talking about human relationships, broken relationships, and how these can be mended. Because my desire is that your conscience be clear, not just before God, but also before others. There may be a price to pay, but believe me, it's worth it. Call a friend, invite them to listen along with you.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Just Lay It Down, another in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time, the how-to of reconciling broken relationships. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the power of a clear conscience. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.